and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll be opening your Bible to Genesis, the 40th chapter. Genesis, the 40th chapter. When I think of Acts, the 17th chapter, and what and the way in which Paul explained those of Athens, he said that they always wanted to hear of something new or to either tell of some new thing. And when I look today on the television, and when I look in the newspapers, and when you stand in line there at the grocery counter and look at the tabloids, it's amazing how our world seems to be moving more and more like those of Athens. They want to always hear of something new or to see something new, something that they've never seen before. We're wanting something shocking. We're wanting something surprising. We're wanting something that we say, now that's just amazing. And I believe that that is much of the reason that it's become a large industry in America to dial 1-900 and have your personal psychic to tell you all that's going to happen in your life. I believe that's one reason why it's so successful, is we're moving more and more like those of Athens. I believe that one of the things that's always amazed Americans is that they can open almost any newspaper, and if they look hard, they can find their horoscope. And many people, they don't want to leave each morning until they find out what's going to happen today or what's going to happen this week. And so it is that many conversations come about in our day-to-day life. Conversations, do you believe it? Do you think that someone has the power to reveal something that the average man does not know? Although this morning, this topic may be something that some of you will walk out of here and say, well, that one missed me completely. I don't have any concern with that. Nevertheless, it's a growing concern in America. And it's something that I think we need to give an answer to from God's Word. Let's look at Genesis, the 40th chapter, a chapter that deals with the interpretation of dreams. And as we see in this chapter, we'll see some truths that run all the way through the Bible about such things as interpretations and so forth. You remember, as we've been studying through Genesis, Joseph is now in prison. And as he has now moved or become of somewhat of authority figure in prison, he's looking over the others, and as he walks in one day, he sees the chief butler and the chief baker there, and both of them have had a dream. But they're very sad because we learn in the early parts of this chapter they can't interpret the dream. And notice what is said in verse 8, Genesis 40. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth from the clusters thereof, brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up his head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. 2 years passes as we go into the 41st chapter. Pharaoh wakes up one morning. He's had a dream. And so he begins to be curious about what this dream could mean. And as he talks about this dream, Joseph is remembered by the butler. And he says, I know of one that can tell you the meaning of your dream. And so he tells the dream. He tells of how out of the Nile River there came some very fat cattle. But then came some very lean cattle. And the seven fat cattle are consumed by the seven lean cattle. But something strange happens. If that's not strange enough, even more strange happens. The lean cattle put on no weight whatsoever. They're just as lean as before. He has a second dream. He has a stalk of corn that grows. And on this stalk of corn is seven fat ears of corn. Another stalk of corn grows and seven lean ears are produced. The seven lean ears consume the seven fat ears. And again, they're just as lean as before. Joseph replies to him the reply of his dream in that there will be, the interpretation is there will be the 7 years of plenty. And after that will be the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of leanness. And those 7 years of leanness will consume all that has been built up in the seven previous years. So that once those 7 years have passed, nothing will be gained. Nothing will be left over. Now, as we read toward the end of this, we see in the 41st chapter, in verse 32, notice why he had the dream. Joseph says, "And for the dream was doubled in Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." And so when Pharaoh sees the power and the knowledge that this God has and exemplified through the voice of Joseph, notice what he says in verse 37. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servant. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And he takes and he gives him the gold and all of the riches and puts him in the second chariot, and he's second in command. Now, to lay even a little bit deeper foundation, and again, I will just quickly explain this one to you and then we'll move right on. But I want you to see both of these occasions, because as we talk about interpretation of dreams through the Scriptures, there's only two stories that are told in detail of interpretation of dreams. The story we just read in these two chapters, and then if you'll look with me to Daniel, the second chapter, we have another story. This story is where Daniel interprets the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning and you feel stressed? You feel wore out because all night you've dreamed a dream that really bothers you. But yet when you get up in the morning, you can't remember the dream. And even though you can't remember the dream, you still carry that burden in your mind that something is stressing you. That seems to be what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he calls his wise men together and he says, "I want you to give me an interpretation of a dream." And they say, "Sure, what is it?" And he says, "You tell me. And if you don't, your life will be taken." He was willing to kill all of the wise men. And they couldn't tell him the dream, and they couldn't, of course, tell the interpretation. And so, finally, Daniel hears of this. And he goes, and he says, "Let me tell you the dream." Except, he doesn't take the credit himself. Notice what he says. We're in Daniel, the second chapter. This is his explanation in verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." So immediately before he tells all this dream, he says, "It's not me, King Nebuchadnezzar. It's the God in heaven that knows these secrets." And so he tells him the dream. And all of this dream, he not only tells him the dream, but he tells him the interpretation also. And all of this comes to pass. We then go over two chapters to the fourth chapter. He has another dream, and this time the dream has a huge tree in it, and on this tree is all the beasts underneath it and all the fowls of the air in it, and later this tree would be cut down, and he wants to know the meaning of this. And so he interprets that dream for him to tell him that if he doesn't humble himself, God is going to humble him by cutting down him as a king and allowing his kingdom to go on without him, and he would become a feathered beast out in the field, and he would graze like an ox for 7 years. He didn't heed to that interpretation. And everything came to pass. As a matter of fact, when we read in the fourth chapter, in verse 28, notice this simple verse. "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar." Now please notice this as we look for a biblical foundation for the interpretation of dreams, for prophesying of things that is to come. Please notice that all of these men gave credit to a God Almighty for the interpretation of those dreams. Both of these men gave credit to a God that was in control. Joseph said, Pharaoh, the reason you've dreamed this dream twice is because God is going to bring it to pass. It's not a coincidence. It's a fact. It did. Now as Daniel stands there, he very clearly states all of these things came to pass. Well, where did Joseph, where did Daniel come into play of this? They were the voice of God. They were servants being used to speak only what God gave them the power to speak. Now, the question is, can that happen today? If I have a dream and it's a dream that bothers me, is there a 1-900 number that I can call and someone's going to speak to God? Because after all, Joseph said that it was only God that had interpretations of dreams. Now that's what the Holy Word says, only God has interpretations of dreams. So if that's the case, is there a 1-900 number that I can dial and someone there can speak to God and God will tell that person, which in fact can tell me, something that's going to happen in my future or what my dream might be? Brethren, in a few more minutes, we're going to see under the new covenant that those things have come to pass. They don't exist any longer. But just for emphasis' sake, if someone wants to live by a standard or by a way of life that was under the old covenant, under the Old Testament times, where God did speak directly to some men and those men would speak directly to the rest of the men, if someone wants to go back in their mind to that time, doesn't it seem only fair that we also go back to the test to see if they can really do what they're supposed to do? Now, does that not seem fair? Someone says, okay, I can interpret dreams. I can predict the future. I can tell you what's going to happen in your life. We would say, well, now, in the Old Testament times, some of God's men could do that. In the early New Testament times, by the power of the Holy Spirit, some of the men could do that. Now, let's put the same test to the people today that was required of men of old. If you will, turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, to see what this test might be. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Begin reading at verse 19. The topic under discussion is prophecy, the prophets. Who is a true prophet? Who is a false prophet? And it shall come to pass, verse 19, Deuteronomy 18, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God here is establishing the authority of a prophet. He says, if I speak to a prophet and that man speaks to you on behalf of me, you better listen to him. If you don't, I will require your life into my hands. So he's simply stating the authority that a prophet has by speaking the will of God. Now notice this, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Now that's a good question. One man comes and he says, I speak from God Almighty. Here's the prophecy. Another man comes and says, I speak from the God Almighty. Here's the prophecy. Which man do I listen to? God, you tell me you're going to hold me accountable. We're in Old Testament times here. You're going to hold me accountable as to listening to the prophet, because when I listen to the prophet, I listen to you. But God, I have two prophets here, and each man is saying conflicting things. God, I need to know which one is speaking for you. God says, here's your test. Verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing, notice even singular, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. If the man is of the Lord, and he says something, even one thing, is to come to pass, he says it will. And if a man speaks And he says he's a prophet of the Lord. And what he says does not come to pass. He says, don't be afraid of him. Well, Lord, what do you mean, don't be afraid of him? Go back up a few verses where it says that that prophet shall surely die. It seems to be insinuated there that what you should do is not be afraid to put death upon that prophet. Now, let's bring that over. If that's what people today claim to have, the ability of interpreting dreams, the ability of predicting the future, let's bring that test over and see how many would want to stand. When Joseph interpreted a dream, all of it came true. Every detail. He said why? It was from God. When Daniel interpreted a dream, every detail came true. When all of the prophets of the old Bible prophesied of the things to come, every detail came true. Not one prophecy from the Lord God Almighty has ever failed to come true. Now, you go to work tomorrow and you run up on one of those people that reads the horoscope every day. You really believe in that, you ask? And I say, oh yes, I do. You know, about 4 months ago, I read in my horoscope one day, da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? Before the day was over, da-da-da-da-da, it happened. I believe in it. Oh, you read that every day? Oh yeah. That happened 4 months ago. Oh yeah. I believe in it. Alright? You pick up the tabloid and you really believe those things? Oh yeah, I believe those things. You know, around January, they always give the predictions for the year. And you know, the reason you can believe that these 10 things that are predicted for the year is going to happen is because last year, this same person that made the predictions got 2 out of 10 right last year. Oh, 20% right last year. Yeah, that's right. Well, you really believe? Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I had a problem in a relationship and I called a 1-900 number and they told me what to do. And you know, it worked and they were exactly right. Now, I did call later on and they told me something else to do and it didn't work. Do you believe it? Oh, I believe it because they were exactly right the first time. Now, you may think, well, that's a little bit comical, but now, brethren, let's get right down to the truth here. 120 days and only one has been right. 2 out of 10, 8 are wrong. According to the old Bible, these people were to be stoned. They're false prophets. Someone says, oh, but I'm not in that for religion, preacher. You misunderstood me. According to the old Bible, that's religion. That's religion and you're following a false god. And the false prophet that speaks the false from the false god is to be killed, done away with. Now, let's bring this over into the new covenant and to the time we live, because I'm not for any of us going out and stoning any of these people that are the operators at the 1-900 numbers and the writers of the tabloids and so forth. But let's see, how does it leave us today under the new covenant? If you will, look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter is a chapter that we usually know of as the love chapter of the Bible. It gives us the best definition of agape love that we have anywhere. But there's also something very wonderful about this chapter, and that is that this chapter states as clear as any one passage in the Bible as to whether or not these miraculous things, such as prophecies and so forth, will continue to the coming of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 8. He says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Also translated, they shall be done away with. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I have known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul speaks of two times. He speaks of a time when prophecies are going to prevail. He speaks of a time when prophecies will be done away with. He speaks of that time in which prophecy will prevail. And then in this time when it's done away with, he says, something's going to abide. Prophecy's going to go away, but something will not go away. What is it, Paul? Faith, hope, and love. So many people in the denominational world will tell you that time when the prophecy is done away with is heaven. And so until we go into eternal life, we're going to have prophecy. And until we go into eternal life, we're going to have speaking in tongues. And we're going to have miracles. Now, brethren, if that is the case, that same time that he's speaking of refers to heaven is also the same time where you have faith, hope, and love. Now, how are you going to have faith in heaven? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, but hoped for. There's not going to be anything in heaven to have faith in. It's going to be in front of us. We will no longer be tested in our faith to see if there's a God Almighty. We'll be sitting in the presence of the God Almighty. The same thing for hope. Hope is that we long for heaven. We long to stand on judgment day prepared. And we say, I have that spiritual hope. That hope that prepares me to live with God. We won't have hope in heaven. So for someone to look at these last few verses and say that's referring to heaven is wrong. Well, then what is it referring to? It's referring to the time that after the apostles laid on hands on the people and they could speak in tongues and they could perform some miracles, we never see an instance where those people in turn could lay on hands for anyone else. So therefore, one generation down the line and all of these things have ceased, just as 1 Corinthians 13:8 is said. Well, perhaps the Christians in that day were fearful. What are we going to have? If we can't speak in tongues, if we can't prophesy, what are we going to have? And Paul says, we're going to have the complete, we're going to have the whole Word of God that we need. And right along with that, you're still going to have faith, you're still going to have hope, you're still going to have love. Can someone today prophesy? Not on behalf of God Almighty. Someone says, oh, but I know someone and I really believe that they have some kind of power. Brethren, they don't have some supernatural power from the God Almighty. There may be a limit or a measure of power that Satan would give man, but it's not a measure of power greater than what God would give man. Please, this morning as we conclude, please think about the danger of this. The fact is that whenever I turn to other sources to guide my life, I've left the greatest source that there is. I shouldn't have to worry about what a horoscope says about my day. I shouldn't have to worry about what some operator that's never met me thinks about my life. But what I should be concerned about is what the God Almighty says as He lays out principles that are appropriate for every minute of every hour of every day in my life. This morning, as we think of the way the world is going and such a far turn from what we should be, I think about the plea for us not to be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning, God has made several prophecies that still have not been fulfilled even to this day. One prophecy that God made through the Hebrew writer is this. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We have not yet in our lives fulfilled that prophecy. One of these days, though, we will. One of these days, we'll die. One of these days, we'll stand before the judgment bar. I ask you this morning, are you prepared for that? You don't turn to a newspaper, to a tabloid, or to an operator to find the answer to that. You turn to God Almighty. Have you ever come to Him asking to be baptized for the remission of sin? Because you want to be innocent. You want the guilt of your soul to be washed clean. You can do that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. and you're willing to repent or turn away from sin and confess that He's the Son of God. Maybe you've done that, but yet after you've become a Christian, you've made mistakes. We all make our mistakes. The question is, are we coming back to the Lord and seeking forgiveness for our mistakes? We can help you in any way. Come as we stand and as we sing.